कुंज बिहारी गोपी जना बल्लभ गिरिवर धारी गोपी जना बल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा राम राम हरे हरे Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. जय प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा प्रभुपाद श्रील प्रभुपदा Prabhupad, Prabhupad, Prabhupad Jaya, Prabhupad.
Jayam Vishnupad Paramhamsa Parivrajakacharya Stotar Shat Shri Srimad His Divine Grace Abhay Charanarvind Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya BBT Sansthapaka Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnav Bhakti Brinda Ki Jai. Jai Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayamudirayet nashta praesha bhadresho Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya Bhagavatyuttamashloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishthike. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 25, Chapter entitled The Three Modes and Beyond, Text Number 8. Pravritti Lakshane Nishtha Puman Yarhi Grihashrame Swadharme Chanu Tishteta Gunana Samatir Hi Sa Pravritti Lakshane Nishtha Paman yarhi grihashrame Swadharme chanutishteta Gunanam samatir hisa Pravritti lakshane nishtha Paman yarhi grihashrame Swadharme chanutishteta Gunanam samatir hisa Pravritti lakshane nishtha Puman yarhi grihashrame Swadharme chanutishteta Gunanam samatir hisa. Chanu A has to have a dash on it. गुणानां समतिर्हिसा गोविंद नाम समतीर हिसा प्रवृत्ति लक्षणे निष्ठा पुमान्यर्हि गृहाश्रमे सुधर्मे चानुतिष्ठेत गुणानाम समतीर हिसा माताजी प्रवृत्ते लक्षणे निष्ठा पुमान यर्हि गृहाश्रमे स्वधर्मे चानुतिष्ठेत गुणानां समतिर्हिसा प्रवृत्ति ऑफ द पैथ ऑफ मटीरियल एंजॉयमेंट लक्षणे in that which is the symptom, nishtha, dedication, puman, a person, yarhi, when, griha ashrame, in family life, swadharme, in prescribed duties, cha, and, anu, later, tishtheta, He stands, gunanam, of the modes of nature, samatihi, the combination, he, indeed, sa, this. Translation, when a man desires sense gratification being attached to family life, and when he consequently becomes established in religious and occupational duties, the combination of the modes of nature is manifest. Purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, religious duties performed for promotion to heaven are understood to be in the mode of passion. Those performed to enjoy ordinary family life are in the mode of ignorance. And those performed selflessly to fulfill one's occupational duty in Varnashram system are in the mode of goodness. The Lord has thus explained how mundane religiosity is manifest within the modes of nature. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantika Namam Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Vracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhya Evacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा गुड मॉर्निंग. सो द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड श्री कृष्णा इज नाउ एक्सप्लेनिंग टू अर्जुन हाउ द थ्री मोड्स ऑफ मटीरियल नेचर आर ऑल परवेडिंग and they influence the consciousness of all living entities, especially those who are in the human form. The 14th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is dedicated to a large extent to describing how the modes of material nature function. Let me tell you a story. A typical story which is black and white. That may not always be true, but stories are helpful. There used to live a very famous saint in the southern part of this country. The saint was very much revered, respected, had a lot of followers. The township in which the saint lived was a temple town. Basically, everything revolved around the temple of Lord Vishnu. So most of the residents were to a smaller or greater extent connected to Lord Vishnu, they were dedicated to Lord Vishnu, they served Lord Vishnu, Lord Narayan. The saint's behavior, to a certain extent, caused some curiosity amongst his followers. What happened is, or what would happen is, that every day the saint would go out of his house during the later part of the morning to meet people on the street. So during the morning times, the saint would finish off all of his devotional activities, the morning devotional activities, and then would step out. And every day he would meet a very scholarly and decent gentleman. Very, very scholarly and decent gentleman. Who would always have a few followers with him. He would always be teaching them from the scriptures, enlightening them, even on his walks. The saint would just acknowledge him, say Hare Krishna, and walk ahead. And every single day the saint would also meet a very a common person who wasn't so knowledgeable, was very simple. At the same time, occasionally would express his emotions, sometimes anger, sometimes agitation, sometimes happiness, would express it loud. The saint would always spend some time with this person. Always. Ask him about his welfare. Ask him how was the day. General talk. Since it is a temple town, even the general talk was about devotional activities. So this caused a lot of curiosity amongst his students as to why would the saint interact differently with these two personalities, because from their perspective, one person was very knowledgeable, decent, would always have his emotions under control. The other person was a simpleton, would sometimes be very emotional. So one particular day, they just asked their teacher. And the saint replied that, "Tomorrow I will give you the explanation." The next day, the saint invited the scholar into his house. He served him nicely. The scholar was also very happy because after so many days, you know, he was very eager to interact with this very advanced soul. So then the saint asked the scholar a question as to who is the absolute truth, or what is the absolute truth? And knowing the saint to be very advanced in knowledge, the scholar was a little embarrassed. And he said that, "I've been trying to figure this out for a long, long time. Since you are so advanced in scriptural knowledge and also in spiritual realization, I have to admit to you that I am confused as to who is the, or what is the absolute truth." The scholar, the saint, smiled. He made the scholar feel comfortable and let him depart. Next, he invited this simple person. He gave him a seat. He offered him some rice prasad to eat. And after asking him about his simple daily affairs, like how was your day today, and did you meet some people, he did not ask him about WhatsApp and he did not ask him about social media. But he asked him about his regular daily routine. There was no discussion on scriptures directly. And then he asked him, "Who or what is the absolute truth?" So the man stopped eating and he looked at him and he said, "You don't know?" He said, "I would like you to explain and enlighten me." So the man, he pushed away his plate of rice and he said, "Why am I even eating at your place? If you are not very clear about who the absolute truth is, I have no business eating at your place. The absolute truth is the Supreme Lord, Vishnu, Lord Narayan." And in great agitation, without even seeking goodbyes, he just left the place. The teacher, he turned towards his students and he said, "Now do you understand why I want to interact with this simple person more? And I just keep my interaction to a minimal with the scholar." So stories like this are really very black and white. In fact, it is such stories with such contrasts that kind of create a bias towards everything that is opulent, like, oh, opulence is dangerous, and they kind of make you feel that the way to go is to become akinchan or poverty stricken. Therefore, Lord Krishna, he spends a lot of time describing how the modes affect you. The modes are extremely powerful. And the modes have certain effects. Right? Sattvam sukhe sanjayati. Rajaso lobha evacha. Tamasastu jnanam avrittam. and Pramada after that. Pramada Sanjatyuta. So, happiness seems to be the natural consequence of the effect of the mode of goodness. Distraction, greed, seems to be the natural effect of the mode of passion. Confusion or not being aware of what is right and what is wrong. Madness. I feel I do. That is kind of madness. That seems to be the effect of the mode of ignorance. And then Krishna explains Rajas Tamas Chabi Bhuya Sattam Bhavati Bharata. Sometimes the mode of goodness is overpowering the mode of passion and ignorance. Sometimes Raja Sattam Tamas Chaiva, sometimes the mode of passion overcomes goodness and ignorance. And then Tamaha Sattvam Rajas. And sometimes the mode of ignorance overcomes goodness and passion, which means at different times, different modes are powerful. So first of all, the modes have particular effects. And you and I have nothing to do with it. That is the interesting part. So the modes are freely, you know, they're kind of, they are the most free citizens of this entire Brahmanda. And they exert their right of expression at every moment. The people who have the best expression of their constitutional rights, or the elements that have the best expression of their constitutional rights, are the modes. So the modes decide happiness, the modes decide distraction, the modes decide madness. What do you have to do? You simply have to engage your consciousness with the modes. Now do you have to really work a lot to do that? No, not really. You see, just as water as it is flowing gathers dirt, wind as it blows through any space collects aroma. Similarly, the modes as they move around this Brahmanda, they interact with the consciousness of the living entity. There's absolutely nothing you can do about it unless and until you are aware that you have to be transcendental to the modes. It's like you are walking down the street and there's absolutely nothing you can do about the flow of traffic. And unless and until you are aware of what your destination is, you're not going to reach anywhere, because the traffic flow sometimes is so much that it is difficult even to cross the street. So if you don't follow certain laws, if you don't come to crossroads, if you don't use a zebra crossing, if you don't cross over when the light is for pedestrians to cross, it becomes very difficult to go across the street, because traffic doesn't care about you. And that is how the modes are. The modes are constantly moving around you. It's like serious traffic around you. Every time you kind of sit, you kind of drink, you kind of eat, you kind of wake up, you are interacting with someone, you're talking to someone, you're thinking about something, you're planning. There's this huge flux of traffic, of the modes. Now, if we are lucky enough, the mode of goodness would be predominant. What does that mean? It means that the mode of goodness would kind of give you a happy situation with little bits of irritation, distraction, and craziness. With little bits of that. It's never going to be a completely comfortable situation. Never. Like, to give a black and white example, you sit under the shade of a tree, you seem to be very happy, and a bird dropping falls on you. Just a bird dropping makes you go crazy. You become so angry. I mean, what can you do to a bird? The bird is like, hey, this is my tree. You know, look at all the droppings around. I've been doing this since I was born. You have invaded my space. And when you enter that space, you're like, this is my space. A tree in the middle of this nowhere place with this shade and this hot sun. My. Krishna is really merciful. So Krishna is really merciful, the mode of passion, because lobha is there. Because you have that, finally a tree. So the mode of passion, you sit under a tree, you feel a little comfortable, the mode of goodness, because the tree kind of exerts that mode at that moment in time. And the dropping creates a mode of ignorance. Now, if we are constantly subjected to this, what is the possibility that we can take hold, rein in our consciousness by our own effort? And this is just a board dropping, this is just traffic, this is just commute, thinking. You know, you're thinking about something, you're planning out an event. And all of a sudden, as you're planning out an event, stage-wise, if you're calm, if you're composed and you're planning, it could be in the mode of goodness. Suddenly, there is one factor for which you need to get in touch with someone else to get the details. So you get on your phone, you give a call to that person, the person is not responding. You get agitated because you cannot go further in your planning. So the mode of passion takes over. And if that persists for some time, you give up your planning, you kind of, in your mind, you kind of use all of your choice words for the person who's not answering. And in case, by chance, the person responds after some time, oh my God, you forget about what was the reason you were about to, why you had called up that person. The first thing you ask is, where were you? Do you think my time is not important? It has absolutely nothing to do with your agenda or with the other person's life. It is just madness. Plain madness. Like for men, clean shaven or having a beard. Sometimes they kind of, hey, let's just shave up and be done with it. It feels good. Less weight. Or sometimes, why am I even wasting my time in this? You know, I could save so much time, just let it grow. So kind of being, you know, unconcerned. As soon as you're shaven up, or as soon as you have a growth of hair on your, how do I look? How do I look? Am I perfectly shaven? Is my beard well trimmed? Is it growing, I mean, decently? Geographically, is it all right? You know, the contours of the map. No partition. Mode of passion, mode of goodness. You eat, you begin with prayers, you are very prayerful, and then suddenly you like a particular dish. You are just waiting for the server. Come in. And if that server happens to be a friend, you kind of wink at your friend like, hey, you know me. The mode of passion comes in. And after some time, when you have eaten more than you need to eat, and your friend happens to give you an extra bowl, you're like, are you crazy? Why didn't you ask me? Madness. The same friend. So in all these different scenarios, it is you who's getting affected, and it is not you. You or we. We are letting our consciousness roam freely in this world that is considered to be dangerous. Very dangerous. Padam padam yat vipadam. At every step there is danger. And the danger is not in terms of accident or loss of life. I mean, those are serious things in terms of from our perspective. From the perspective of the demigods, they are hardly aware of how many of us die at what moment. Because it's just minuscule for them. For us, okay, these are big time events. Danger is in terms of how our consciousness gets challenged, it gets contaminated, it gets affected. And the thing about consciousness becoming affected is that the aftertaste remains for some time or for a long time. The aftertaste remains. Suddenly you're so happy because of the mode of goodness, you forget that you are spirit soul. You're like, hey, this life is comfortable. Krishna has given me so much happiness. Let me just relax. No, we cannot relax in this material world. In the mode of passion, you're like, hey Krishna, you know, let's make a deal. I get this, then I do that. In the mode of ignorance, sometimes you're like, let's give Krishna a break. Let him take a vacation, let me take a vacation. I'm done for today. If tomorrow things are good, I will continue. None of the modes are actually, none of the modes stimulate our consciousness towards Krishna. None of them do that. All of them are binding. This is period. I mean, this is it. Every single mode, goodness, passion, ignorance is binding. So please don't try to take your pick like, hey, you know, you go to the counter that is selling modes. Like, give me more of goodness, less of passion. Forget ignorance for today. It doesn't happen like that. All the modes are binding. Isn't goodness supposed to be like the stepping stone, the diving board? It is supposed to be a diving board if you are on the board to dive. You cannot be standing down beside the swimming pool looking up at the diving board. Yeah, that is the mode of goodness. You know, on the diving board, you can dive into the spiritual world. So all of the modes are binding unless and until you make an effort, you make a choice to transcend them. And in order to transcend them, because the modes are all pervading, you may have to use those modes. You may have to use them. Like, Rajas. Rajas Karmani Bharata. Rajogun is activities. So when you do worship. You take the incense stick, you take the ghee lamp. It's activity. So your body is in the functional mode of passion. Your consciousness is in the mode of service. Now, if the consciousness is in the mode of service, then the body that is engaged in the mode of passion, this body becomes a vehicle. The mode of passion becomes a vehicle and your activity becomes devotional. Ajnanam. The body is tired. You can no longer work. Decide to take rest. Now, as soon as you take rest, you have absolutely no, you are absolutely unaware of who you are. Now, your consciousness is, if I sleep, take good rest, I wake up early in the morning, perform my devotional activities, the body is going through the mechanisms of the mode of ignorance because your consciousness is in the mode of service. You use the mode of ignorance. You use the body that is functioning in the mode of ignorance to serve. And hence that activity becomes devotional service. In the early 70s, in one of the temples, early morning, many of the devotees were outside the temple. There was just a couple of devotees at the temple. Early morning, the devotees came into the temple. They offered their obeisances to Srila Prabhupada, they offered their obeisances to the deities, and then they had the morning program. In the middle of the morning programs, somebody noticed, because there was just a couple of devotees, you know, just somebody singing, somebody playing the mridanga. So they were focused on the deity. As they were dancing back and forth, so they turned around and they noticed that one of the gentlemen was offering obeisances to Prabhupada, one of the devotees. After 5 minutes, when they again turned around for still there. That person was still there. 5 minutes later on, the first response was, what happened? You know, does the person need CPR? So they went up to the person and they found him sleeping. So tired that offering obeisances and was sleeping. Offering obeisances to Srila Prabhupada. Crazy things happen in this material world. Really, you're not aware when, where the modes can strike us. Really severely, very severe. Like early morning offering obeisances to Prabhupada and you could just fall asleep. Serious. Seriously affected by the mode of ignorance. The body is there. The consciousness was to serve. Now there are so many devotees offering obeisances, but this story has become very popular. The name of the devotee is not revealed, but the story is popular. So the modes are very powerful. However, Krishna clearly states that individual intent is much more powerful. Aparyam itastvanyam prakritim vidhime param. Krishna makes it very clear, intent and individual intent. It cannot be collective intent. Now sometimes, especially in India, the males, they have this attitude. The wife is doing on my behalf, I'll also get the benefit. Collective intent doesn't work. It has to be individual intent, individual action. So individually, one has to determine whether one is serious enough to get out of this predicament. Seriously. Once a devotee came up to Srila Prabhupada and because of so much of, like bhava vibhor, like so much of emotional gratitude towards Prabhupada, so many emotions like, Srila Prabhupada, I pray that life after life I may serve you in this material world by preaching. really very, very much moved by the emotion of gratitude. Prabhupada smiled and he said, very good. And then he said, you go back home, back to Godhead. I'm just rephrasing it. He said, you go back home, back to Godhead. I will stay here and preach. Srila Prabhupada in that instance seems to have perfect confidence in our aptitudes. We may kind of overdo and overreach. Let me just serve my spiritual master like this or like that. And Srila Prabhupada was once asked, you know, what pleases you the most? Deity worship, cow protection, book distribution, attending morning program, etc., etc., etc. Srila Prabhupada said, chanting 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra sincerely. That pleases me the most. Or serving Krishna sincerely pleases me the most. Why? Those statements, they kind of seem to be very mystical. One perspective of such statements is that just make your individual intent very clear. Krishna, I am yours and you are mine to serve. Service is all that I ask for and service is all that I am made up of. This material world with the modes is extremely dangerous. The only blessing that I ask of you is that I may always remember you, I may constantly chant your holy names, and I may constantly serve you. There was once a robber. Many of you have heard this story, maybe. He heard that the king was going to offer some big benediction. So he said, why steal when one can, you know, when there is a scam to be in the happening? Why steal? So the king had a plan. He had a daughter, some graha dosh, maybe kundali dosh, something. The daughter wasn't getting married, or the king had ideas that my daughter should get married to a suitable person. So he called for all eligible persons and he specifically said, all of you must be very pure. You must have very pure intents and you must be very, very pure in your habits. But he did not reveal that his intent was to get his daughter married. He kind of made it an assembly. He called for an assembly. And the king was very righteous. But he said in that assembly he was going to distribute a lot of wealth. So the robber came to the assembly. And he saw that in the assembly, every single person was distinctly very, very clean and pure. In fact, the king had allotted seats according to their status. The first row of seats was for the sannyasis. The second row of seats was for the devotees. The third row of seats was for the brahmanas. The fourth row of seats was for the other people. So those seats were allotted by your report card. You know how people, known people. So the robber understood that he couldn't be in those rows. But then he realized that he couldn't even participate as he was. So suddenly he made arrangements to look like a very, very clean, pure, decent person. And he made his way till he could be situated or placed to the best of his capacity, and that was the fourth row. The king comes up, everyone gets up, welcomes the king welcomes everyone. The king says, I've invited you here because I would want one of you to become the husband of my daughter. And I will offer half my kingdom to you if you marry my daughter. The sannyasis just got up and they left. They said, we thought the king, you are going to distribute a lot of wealth. We thought you are a righteous king. So wealth we thought was Krishna consciousness, but here it seems to be a different affair. So I'm leaving. So the first row left. The robber felt a little better. His prospectus improved slightly. You know, the stock market went a little up. The next row of Vaishnavas, they said, we also came here because king, my dear king, we thought that you would speak about devotional practices, but you have other intents, so we are leaving. The king was shocked. He said, please wait. He said, I'll give you 75% of my kingdom, please wait. And the robber was like, don't wait. Y'all just go away from here. 75% of the king's kingdom. I mean, now he would be 3/4 king and the king would be 1/4 king. 3:1 ratio. Wow. Talk about the state boards or the matriculation boards making mistakes. You know, 3:1 prospect like that. Suddenly you get a report card. My God, 75% of what somebody else, the topper got, that is what I'm getting. 3:1. They did not wait. The brahmanas, they said, we thought we'd come here and do yagyas for you. You want us to get married. You're already married. We are happy and we are leaving. The robber was so happy. Now he was right there. And the king, he looked at them and he looked at the robber, because the robber was like, my claim is first. He said, would you marry my daughter? And the robber said, no. And the king said, why? Because the robber said, my dear king, first of all, you are a fool. I'm a robber. I'm not a decent person. But you couldn't even recognize me. And secondly, if what you are offering is so valuable, then why did the sannyasis and why did the Vaishnavas and why did the brahmanas give it up? There must be something much more valuable than what you are offering. They must have. I'm going after them. So the modes can be very, very interesting. Stories like this, as I said, they're very stark. They're supposed to be inspirational. They're supposed to be motivational. They're supposed to stimulate you. However, if our stimulation is, you know, like the pressure cooker, when there's stimulation, then the whistle blows and then somebody, pluck, the mode hits you. The pressure's gone. The whistle is silent. So the stimulation has to constantly remain. And it doesn't really matter afterwards what the modes are, if the stimulation is constantly there. Smartavya satatam Vishnu vismartavya na jatachat. If that is a stimulation constantly there, then life may have its ups and downs. But at the end of life, there is a super, super vacation waiting for all of us. The best of all the vacations. We go back to Krishna in the spiritual world. And it's vacation time always there. Can you imagine just, you know, we always talk about Krishna stealing butter. Can you imagine just being there while he's stealing butter? I mean, the intensity, your drama with Krishna stealing butter and looking at his beautiful form and he's on those pots on that pyramid. And you are one of them. And maybe Krishna's lotus feet is on your shoulder. And you're like shivering because Krishna's lotus feet is touching you. You have ashta sattvika vikar. I'm sorry. Just think. Such a lovely vacation. Such a lovely time. Would we rather have that, or would we rather have position here in this material world? Devotee of the year. What would we rather have? In the 11th canto, we'll think we should be coming around there. We did it. Krishna visits Mithila. King Bahulashwa, the king of Mithila, did not have time enough to come to Dwarka to visit Krishna. Krishna comes to visit him. He welcomes him, gives him a seat. He's so peaceful. He interacts with Krishna so very lovingly. He offers him food. He washes his lotus feet, takes the water, sprinkles it over his head, over the head of all of his servants and his family members. Then starts after Krishna has had his food and all the saints have had their food, their prasad. He gives Krishna a quiet solitary place. He gives the saints, the saintly people, a quiet solitary place. And then he starts massaging Krishna's feet. And then he glorifies Krishna there. And that's it. That is the perfection of his life. Massaging Krishna's lotus feet, being the king of Mithila after Krishna is completely sumptuously fed. And Krishna is at leisure, relaxing. And he glorifies Krishna. Krishna is going nowhere. Krishna is leisurely hearing all of our stutis, our prayers. He requests Krishna, please stay here for 8 to 10 days, at least a few more days. And Krishna agrees. Every single day he serves Krishna. And then the Bhagavatam describes that he goes to the house of Shrutadev. Shrutadev is absolutely poor. Absolutely poor. And it is... Is it a stigma on the... On King Bahulashwa? No. Shrutadev is poor by choice. Because whatever he would earn, whatever he would receive in charity, he would just donate. He was not poor by circumstance. By circumstances. He was poor by choice. So Krishna visits him. And he's so happy. He welcomes Krishna. Gives him a seat. He starts dancing. And then he washes Krishna's lotus feet. He offers him some prasad. He sprinkles the water on his head. And then when Krishna is relaxing, he takes Krishna's feet, keeps it in his lap, starts massaging his feet, and offers him wonderful prayers. So whether you're a king or whether you're poverty stricken, if Krishna becomes attracted by our consciousness, which is unaffected by the modes of material nature, then we have Krishna eternally to ourselves. Shrutadev had Krishna. Bahulashwa has Krishna. Hence, when we study the modes, we have to be very diligent and realize that the modes are very powerful. However, the study of the modes and the effects of the modes are practical events. You know, study of the modes, we understand the effect of the modes are going to be there in our lives. However, the individual intent, by study, it is noticed. The practice has been forgotten over millions and millions of births. It will take some effort. It will take a lot of effort. But as humans, we have the tendency, we can build a dam to shore up all the water and hold it. That is the capacity that we have as humans. That is the capacity that the mind has in the human form of life. So all we need to do is build up this dam within our heart, within our consciousness, that keeps the effects, that keeps the flow, that keeps the ebb of the modes of material nature on the other side. And here on one side and on the other side, we have lush green fields of Krishna consciousness where we can sincerely remember Krishna and serve Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Any questions or comments? Corrections? Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.